Ridley Pearson is back in the studio this afternoon. He is, how many books is it officially, Ridley? Is it actually a gazillion books that you've written through the years?
A gazillion minus one, I think.
Well, this makes a gazillion, then.
Well,
his new crime novel
24
is...
24 is what it is.
24, and the new one is called Killer Weekend. It just came out last week, and we won't find out until Wednesday, but I am predicting this one will be yet another big bestseller. Congratulations on the book. And starting a new series. I want to ask...
Yeah, which is an interesting process.
Yeah, explain to me about that. When you sit down to write a book, that's one thing. But you actually started to write the first book in a series. How do you know it's going to do well enough to be a series?
Well, that's a good question. You have to ask my publisher that. But they told me they wanted me to start a new series. And I had backed into a series with Lou Bolt and Daphne Matthews, which are 9 of my 20 books. And this was an interesting challenge because they said, you know, start a new one. And instead of having to back into it, as I did there, where I found a few stories, I set them in Seattle. I started using the same cop. Suddenly I had a series here. I could pick a place, a person, a thing, and really get going. And I, instead of picking an urban environment, which is usually the basis for a crime series, I picked a tiny little town out in a remote part of Idaho, but very near the famous Sun Valley ski resort, Ketchum in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Which is your home away from home when you're not living in Kirkwood.
It is, and so I know it well, and it seemed like, maybe this is a good thing to write about. I know it so well. It's changed so dramatically since I moved there, and now it's filled with billionaires and, you know, multi-millionaires. They've driven the prices of everything up. The working class has had to move out. There's resentment there. There are big, huge deals done there. In fact, the Herb Allen conference just finished out there last weekend.
And
it's a media mogul thing. That's sort of the center of Killer Weekends.
The book is about a local sheriff who's trying to prevent an assassination attempt on a woman who's running for president.
Right, exactly right. And she's going to announce her presidency at this big business conference, the real life version of which just finished, which is a great place for her to fundraise, you know, make networking connections, but it also makes her a fairly easy target because this is a small town, and what kind of security are they going to have?
Now, when you write fiction about a woman running for president and an assassination attempt on her at the same time that a woman is running for president, have you heard from the Secret Service, Ridley?
Well, I've got a couple calls on my cell phone, Paul. But, you know, I mean, I had to guess at this about 3 years ago when I started the book, and I figured she would run, that Hillary would run, and the character is really a little more like Elliot Spitzer than Hillary Clinton because it's this very, you know, kind of aggressive guy. It's a woman, but an aggressive person who's the attorney general, and he's clamped down on a lot of things on Wall Street, which has ticked off a lot of business people, and, you know, she becomes this target.
So when you're writing the first in a series, do you purposely leave stuff out of this book because you're in your mind plotting ahead?
You do, but the opposite is true. I mean, what I've done in this, in software, I think they're called Easter eggs, where you put little bombs in there. And so I have planted...
Don't say bombs when we were just talking about the Secret Service.
Well, you got to read the book. It's about bombs. But I've put little bombs in here that will go off in subsequent books. They're you know, one-liners and paragraphs here and there that I don't think you'll notice as a reader. But I think if you read the series on book 4, you'll go, oh, he mentioned that in Killer Weekend. You know?
Yeah.
So it's fun for me because I can lay some groundwork for future books.
And you've always, being a crime writer, you've always had that plotting mentality.
I'm a heavy plotter. And I do a lot of research. I mean, this is based on a guy named Walt Fleming. And in the book, he's called Walt Fleming.
Fleming, right.
But, I mean, he's a real-life character. In fact, he's sort of too good in real life. I've had to make him... You know, I've had to make him worse in the books, which has made it a laughing point for both of us because he's got this great relationship with his father. His father, you remember D.B. Cooper, the guy who hijacked the plane and took the money? Well, his father ran the FBI investigation into D.B. Cooper.
This is the guy who jumped out of a 707 while he was trying to get away
over Oregon / Washington. Yeah.
And nobody knows what happened to him.
Right, but they found $20,000 of it, I think, about 5 years ago that washed up in the mud of the Columbia River.
So they assumed he must have
died. He might have missed. Yeah. He might have hit the Columbia in this parachute attempt. But Walt's dad ran this. So Walt's kind of this legacy law enforcement guy, and He's an amazing guy. He's amazing with his family. He's amazing with his dad. But in the book, I've got him with a terrible family, a terrible dad, you know.
Did you have to go to him as a friend and say, I'm going to write about you.
Yeah.
I'm going to change one letter of your name.
Yeah, exactly.
And your whole character.
Yeah. Is that okay? And he went, well. And then I gave him this lousy relationship with his dad and his wife. And he said, boy, being in fiction is tough. But there we are.
Have you done that a lot before, taking real-life people?
I've worked with real-life people before. I've never made somebody the center of the book. In the Bolt Matthews books, four books into it, I was introduced to this legendary cop in Seattle. I was buzzed through the fifth-floor door of Homicide, and there stood Lou Bolt. And my jaw dropped. I'd been writing about this guy in my mind for four books, probably 6 years or something, and there was the real-life guy.
Wow.
And he didn't take me to his office. I should have been a little bit suspicious about that. He took me to the box, their interrogation room that I've written about. And instead of a half hour, we spent an hour and a half. And at the end of it, I said, if I'm stumbling around a little, it's because it's just eerie how close you are to this character I've been writing about all these years. He had kind of the Dick Tracy slash, you know, he never smiled.
Mm-hmm.
His faint little turn came on his lips, and he said, Ridley, I've read all the Lou Bolts, and I know I'm Lou Bolt.
So,
thus was born a great marriage. And from then on, I sent him all the books before they were published, just as I send Walt them now.
Do you storyboard, or you just
write? I do.
That's
exactly what I do.
Okay.
I'm a storyboarder, so it comes out of script writing, and I put about 70 scenes up on a wall and make sure they all hold together, and then I follow that as closely as I can. I vary from that from time to time, but that enables me to know where I'm going. So a guy like Walt will get the outline. He'll get the storyboard before I even try the book. So he can say, no way can you use my name in that book. You know, I just sent him 5 minutes ago. I sent him the second book. So we'll see what he says about that.
Wow. Ridley's new book, the first in the series, is Killer Weekend. He'll be doing a reading and signing and doing a Q&A as well.
Yeah, and some stories about cougars and bears and all sorts of stuff.
Here at News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Ridley Pearson. His new book is Killer Weekend. Just came out a few days ago, on its way to the bestseller lists, I'm sure. And he told me during the break that in October will be the third book in the Peter and the Star Catchers series that he co-writes with Dave Barry, who is right now out in Sun Valley, Idaho, with his family. And my daughter's already looking forward to that. She specifically said, ask Ridley when the next book is coming
out.
It's
an exciting book.
When you and Dave write, is it anything like the way you write by yourself?
You know, I've learned a lot from working with Dave. Dave, I was always the guy who wrote a long, long first draft, and it would then go through four, five, six revisions and finally end up a tighter book.
Mm-hmm.
Dave writes, I think because he's a journalist, Dave writes that way for each chapter. So he never does write a second draft of a book, but he'll go eight times over one chapter. So when we write, we send it back and forth. He does a version, I edit it, back and forth eight times. But then it's really locked down, and it's done, and we move on to the next chapter.
And which of you is writing the screenplay for the inevitable movie? Is there a deal yet for a movie?
There was a movie deal, but we actually nixed it because when Pixar and Disney merged, John Lasseter, the creative genius that he is, said they had such a backlog they wouldn't get to this for 6 or 7 years, and we just thought that was kind of outrageous.
Wow.
The great thing was the Disney theatrical wants to turn it into a Broadway musical. So I went 2 weeks ago to Williamstown, Massachusetts, and saw the first four or five scenes of that workshopped, and it totally blew my mind.
Wow.
I mean, it was so exciting.
Now that's surreal.
That was exciting. And, you know, that can get stopped at any phase, but we did get the green light to go to the next phase. They're going to workshop it in New York for a few weeks in the fall, and they want Dave and me out there. So, I mean, it seems to be ramping up. It's
so
exciting.
If that becomes a hit, then...
That's exactly right. That's in the whole... It's called a first-class production. If they make a first-class production out of it, then it will likely go to three different movies, one for each book.
Fantastic.
So and you're a writer. Could you ever see it as a theatrical production?
You know, you can simply because there's so much action and because I think because its origins are Peter Pan and Peter started as a stage play.
Right.
So there's some odd connection there where it's very visual. And the head of Disney Theatrical, Tom Schumacher, read the book and just said, oh, I mean, I can see this on stage. Mm. And Peter has always worked better on stage than in any animated or any other version. Let's get it on stage.
And so, by the way, is it in the Guinness Book yet?
It made it in. Yeah, we're finally
explain that story, if you would.
Well, Jeb Bush, when he was governor of Florida, approached Dave to try to break the Guinness World Book of Records for the most people reading the same thing at the exact same time. And it's very hard to accredit this stuff. England had read one phrase from a Longfellow poem, and they got, I think, 145,000 middle school kids to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So because Jeb Bush supports reading and education, he wanted to get his middle schoolers reading our book. So we went down to Disneyland, and they broadcast it over PBS, and it was all synced by atomic clock. And we had 330,000 kids reading the same page of Peter and the Starcatchers at the exact same moment. However, accreditation knocked that back to, I think, 185 or 190. It was amazing how many you lose when you go through this accredit. But we still beat them by 50,000, so we're in
there. You're in there. Yeah. Congratulations.
That was really fun.
So he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He's also part-time rocker in the Rock Bottom Remainders.
You bet.
The Peter and the Starcatchers, the third book, will be out in October. But tonight you can go to the St. Louis County Public Library in Frontenac on Kirkwood Road and meet Ridley and talk to him about his brand-new, soon-to-be bestseller called Killer Weekend, the first in yet another series of smash hit books. Congratulations
on that. Thank you, Paul.
Ridley Pearson here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.